Romans chapter 8. Sometimes we learn by drawing a contrast. We can learn by looking at the opposite, and we are going to learn this morning by drawing a contrast. The passage, or actually it's the verse that we are going to deal with today, talks about what does not please God. We are going to use that to teach us what does please God. Sometimes we've got to know the dark side before we can see the bright side, and we have that going for us. And so let's just to remind ourselves where we are and to work our way into our passage, let's begin reading here at the beginning of the chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk, I want you to notice this phrase, according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, notice that again, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It is verse 8 that we call our attention to this morning. The opening to this verse is not a good translation, at least in my Bible. So then, if you have either King James or New King James, it would be something like that. It sounds like we are drawing a conclusion. It is almost like a therefore when it is translated that way. But there is nothing in the text to warrant that kind of translation. Paul, in his very logical way of expounding, has gone there so many times, and we've called attention to all the therefores. Therefore, we're coming to a conclusion now. We're going to summarize. This is not one of those places. It is simply the Greek word that brings this transition is a very simple little word, de. De. Can you say de? De. De. It is a mild form of our word, but. I mean, a lot of times it is so soft and so mild that it is translated like and. One place where you find this word over and over is in the Gospel of Mark. Mark loves death. He begins every verse with a death. And I know sometimes when I get talking, I tend to put ands instead of periods in my senses. You know, you just kind of go from one to another, and you just keep doing it, and you just keep doing it. Well, deh is that kind of word, and that's the way Mark did it, and it is a little bit of that here, but there's just this element of contrast that is in it. It can be translated and, it can be translated but it's just a little bit of a but to it. Now, the reason I call your attention to that is because I believe there is an element of contrast that we have here. And it is between two expressions that we find here in Romans 8 that we need to distinguish, and we need to see how they are different, the one from the other, because they are not one and the same. These two, and we have two pairs. We have according to the flesh. We have according to the Spirit. Also, we have in the flesh, in the Spirit. It is important that we distinguish according to from in. Now you can see in Romans 8:8, where we are today, that the term there is in the flesh. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The difference is this. When we have the term in, we're talking about a sphere. I mean, a sphere, a place where we are in. We are in the fellowship hall right now. We are in the fellowship. It's our sphere. It's where we find ourselves. It's our position. It's what we are. We also have the phrase according to the flesh, kata. If some of you like the Greek, kata, K-A-T-A, kata, or I think I even have it in your handout, kata. Kata, according to. And it means that we are following the pattern. We are following the ways. We are, it is something that we agree to. It is according to the, like we could say, according to the code. We built the house according to the code. Which we, means here was a standard and we used it as a pattern. We lived like that. So, as we come to Romans chapter 8, we have this distinction. We have two groups of pairs. We have those who are according to the flesh, according to the Spirit. We have those who are in the flesh, we have those who are in the Spirit. Now, what is the difference? When we say that a person is in the flesh, we are saying that they are in the sphere, in the position of being in the flesh. Or if we are speaking of being in the Spirit, we say they're in the position, they're in the sphere of being in the Spirit. Now, in Romans 8, that contrast, when you have one who is in the flesh, you are describing someone who is a natural man, who is an unbeliever. If you are saying someone is in the Spirit, and we are going to talk more about this when we come to verse 9, if a person is in the Spirit, that means that they are a believer, and they are in the sphere of the Spirit. All people fall into one or the other of these two classifications. They are either in the flesh or they are in the Spirit. Now we have the phrases there according to flesh, according to Spirit. When we talk about according to the flesh, we are talking about a person who is and it is most likely, it can be an unbeliever because they always follow, that's their standard, is the flesh. But it can also be a believer. Flesh, you know, is the same as carnal. We're talking about a carnal believer who is following the patterns of the old life. Of the life of under Adam. They're following the Adam style of life. Which means that they are living like one who is in the flesh, whether they are in the flesh or whether they are not. Whether they are a believer who are an unbeliever. They're living like an unbeliever. Is that clear? Then we have those who are walking according to the Spirit. Now this can only be those who are in the Spirit. But they are walking according to the Spirit. That is their standard. That is the basis on which they operate. That determines what they do. The Spirit is the governing factor in the life. Now, Paul, in the previous verses here, has been talking about people who are walking according, have made the choice to walk according to the flesh. This is exactly like what we have in Romans chapter 6, where we are given a choice, either to present ourselves to God to serve Him, or we can choose as believers to present the members of our body to sin to serve unrighteousness. Same thing. Now, in this verse, it tells us that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's a very dogmatic statement. It doesn't say they can kind of please God. It says they can not please God. So then, this is the rebuke to the believer who would want to walk according to the flesh. If he is walking according to the flesh, what's the conclusion? He is not going to please God. Right? Now, my guess this morning concerning this beautiful group of people, it's just a guess, is that I have here in front of me a group of people who want to please God. I don't think there are many worldlings, many people in the flesh who are going to show up for Bible study at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning if they didn't have some desire in their heart and lives to please God, right? So we want to understand what it is to please God. We want to please God. What does it take to please God? That's a good question. What does it take? We're going to look at some things that have to do with pleasing God. Let's start and talk about the basic issue, where we start with what it is to please God. If someone were to ask you, what do you need to do to please God? What would you tell them? I believe the starting place, as Paul has been talking about it throughout the book of Romans, is the basic way that we are going to please God is that we are going to live our lives by faith. That is the basic thing. That is, we are choosing to respond to Him and to His Word. Now, there's a whole school of theological thought that says, well, we are dead in our trespasses and sin before we're in Christ. And what we need to do is God puts in a little computer chip in our brain, and then we can believe. We are regenerated, and then we believe. Well, that's very contrary to what Paul is teaching in the book of Romans. He doesn't say God is going to make you born again and then you can believe. The appeal over and over and over again is believe. That's it. Believe. And we find the Lord Jesus while He was ministering here on earth. He said, believe on Me. He that believes on the Son hath life. Over and over the word is believe. I believe what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit brings conviction that penetrates into the darkness of men's lives, that brings that light so they can believe. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He does a beautiful thing in that. Now, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Then the whole rest of the chapter there in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer there to the Hebrews is going to prove what man did to believe in God. And the thing that we find that they did to believe in God over and over was not that they exuded some kind of faith vibes into the air. It was over and over, God told them to do something. And they did it. They obeyed and they believed and they said, okay, God, this is what You want. I'm going to do it. That's the life of faith. But it is a life that is not done in our strength. It is not done in our power. It is done in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. It is trusting God to do His work in us. You see, there is a humanistic form of faith, and we call that legalism. That is that we just try to keep the law in our own strength, in our own power. It's the problem with law keeping, is it is not a work of faith. Now, we have seen already in this chapter that it is through Christ and His finished work and trusting in that, that we, and the expression is here, fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. It's not that we don't do it. It's not that we just sit on the couch and we just kind of have faith. No. It is productive faith. It is faith that does something. We're going to see more about that in a couple of weeks as we're working through this chapter, how there are just a whole lot of things that God has told us to do. And we do it by faith, not by a legalistic spirit where we are going to tough it out and we are going to do it. So as we look at the book of Romans to see what pleases God, we find over and over again that the word there is we believe. What do we read there in Romans 1:16 and 17? The just shall live by their self-effort. No? The just shall live by faith. It is faith that pleases God. It is trusting in His Word. It is believing what He has said. That's what's going to please God. Now, as we go on here, we can find that over and over again, it talks about pleasing God. We find that as we think of what God has done, it becomes the basis of our Christian life. It's the basis for justification. Note the word faith. Here, turn with me to Romans 3:22. I want to look at these verses, and I just want to, because this is Romans. We keep going back and forth in the book of Romans. I found that we just kind of have to repeat ourselves over and over. I have to study things over and over again. Do you know that? You may think I just come up here and spout this all this stuff out. But it doesn't work that way for me. I've got to study it, and I go over it, and I think about it, and I meditate. Sometimes I get some new little insights into it, but I have to go over it and over it again. So chances are, if I have to go over it and over it again, then I'm not, you know, not just beating you up with it, but I want you to see the role of faith here. In justification, Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Now remember, we said the word faith, I'm repeating this, this is one of those places, let me remind you, where you have a Anglo-Saxon derivative word, faith, and you have a Romance language, Latin derivative word that mean exactly the same thing. Faith and believe mean exactly the same thing. Faith is a noun, believe is a verb, but they are our belief, believe, faith. We don't have a, do we have a derivative? Can we faith it, I guess? Make a verb out of it. We don't have the verb there. But faith and believe are exactly the same thing. So it speaks here of those who have faith, those who believe. Notice verse 25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Those sins, even as we have thought this morning at our communion table, that each year they sent the goat out for the to symbolize this which was to come. But the satisfaction was never found in the shedding of the blood of a goat. The propitiation or satisfaction was found in the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You see, this is the reason in Romans 8:8 we read, but the one who is in the flesh cannot please God. Why? He does not have faith. That's what it's all about. He does not have faith. That's why he's not pleasing God. No matter how many works he does, no matter what religious ritual he goes through, no matter what his ethnic background is, it is not enough, because the only thing that pleases God is faith. Am I making my point? Okay. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. You see, if it were our works, if it were a matter of keeping the law, we could say, I did it. Yeah, look at me, I did it. That's what does not please God. You see, God's program, God gets the glory. And it's not because he's got a great ego. It's because God is God. That's why he gets the glory. Okay?
Then in verse 28 it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So faith is the issue that pleases God. Now flip a page and go to chapter 4, verse 5, where we see that the basis, and once again we say, it's not works, it's faith. But to him who does not work but believes, there's a form of our word, on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Ooh. The faith is charged to the account for righteousness, not works. And then flip over to the next chapter. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So it is by faith, are you getting that? The issue, the bottom line issue, is it is by faith. If you go away this morning and someone asks you, what did Carl tell you this morning? Well, one thing, you could say that the only thing that pleases God is faith. It's the only thing we have to offer. Faith! Now, we are going to have a number of manifestations and working out of this faith in life that please God as well. But the bottom line is, we are in a relationship to him because of faith. And then we are going to do those things that he desires we do by faith. Let's just quickly look at some of those. You have a list there. Note them. We remain untangled from the world. 2 Timothy 2:4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Can you imagine a guy who's going to Iraq? And he says, you know, I'm putting together this antique car. I'm restoring this antique car. Is there room on the plane for my car so that I can work on it in my spare time over on the battlefield? Probably the officers over him are going to frown on that. The reason is because as we go to war, we go to war. We don't get entangled in those things which hold us back. And the life of faith is one that keeps its focus. It keeps its focus on the Lord so that we walk in Him. Colossians 1:10, we have a couple of more things here that it says, please God, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, how do we walk worthy? It says, where is it? Colossians 2:10. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. Now, the question we can ask about that is, how did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord?
By faith.
Ooh, you're learning. What good students. You've got it. By faith, we received Him. How do we walk worthy? By faith. Exactly. By faith we walk worthy. And as we are walking by faith, in this verse, in Colossians, wherever we are, 1:10, it talks about we please God because we're going to produce good works. There are going to be good works. But it's not that we try harder good works. It is the works that grow naturally out of our walk with the Lord. As we walk with Him, that's where the good works take place. And as we're walking worthy of Him and pleasing Him, what else does it say in Colossians 1:10 will happen? We will grow in our knowledge of God. Ooh, I like that. As we walk by faith, as we walk in faith, we learn more how God operates. As we walk in faith, we see what He does. We see how He strengthens us. We see how He transforms us. But we get insight into the God who is behind it all. It's wonderful. It's glorious. And then we can also speak in 1 John 3:22. It says we're going to end up doing those things that He approves of. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, remember we have said in Romans 8, back there a couple, three verses, where it talks about how because of our relationship to Christ and as we walk according to the Spirit, ooh, according to the Spirit. What does it mean to walk according to the Spirit? We follow what the Spirit represents. We do it the Spirit way. That's what it means to walk according to the Spirit. As we walk according to the Spirit, we will fulfill the righteous, that's what it says, Romans 8. We will fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. Ooh. And as we do that, what is accomplished? We please God. Ooh. Good, huh? 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, where it's talking about this godly lifestyle. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. So what are we going to do in our walk that pleases God? Remember, we are doing it according to the Spirit. We are allowing the Spirit to determine our behavior. That means we are not going to do anything that is contrary to the Holy Spirit. And the specific thing here is sexual immorality. Can you walk
according to the Spirit and live an immoral lifestyle. No, they are mutually exclusive. In us, it's not just that I'm a good man, a righteous man, a pure man, and so I'm going to do it. No, we are walking according to the Spirit. It's a lifestyle. Remember, we have said walk means lifestyle. We have a lifestyle that is according to the Spirit rather than according to the flesh. That's what we're seeing here. There are other things. We'll just throw some of the 1 Corinthians 1:21, where it talks about, it pleases God that the simple message of the cross is proclaimed. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Why does that please God? Because faith is a response to a message. It is acting upon a message. And the message that God wanted to proclaim was very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's not you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and go to church every Sunday and be baptized and all these other things. It's a simple message. Because our faith is not in our religious ritual. Our faith is in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. That's what this whole thing is about here. And so it pleases God. As people are not told they've got to do a whole lot of things, but rather that they are told they need to believe in Jesus Christ. That pleases God. That puts a smile on God's face, if I may reverently put it that way. The scripture speaks of the smile of the, when he lifts his countenance upon. I mean, it's a figure of speech. It's what we call an anthropomorphism. That is, it's using a human figure. God does not have a face. But there is the sense in which he smiles on people. He is well pleased. And he's pleased when the preaching of the gospel goes out. Philippians 4:18 talks about it's pleasing to God when there are those that are in need that we share. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And so here we read how that offering that had been sent, it was well-pleasing to God. It blessed God. It was an act of love. And so we find that God is pleased with that. And then finally here, there are others. This is not an exhaustive list. There are just some places where it talks about it. But I'd like to conclude that section with this one. Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull which has horns and hooves. What pleases God? It's not our sacrifices. It's not our religious ritual. But it is hearts that are turned to him and responding to him. That's what it's all about. That's what's going to please God. So we see in its basic, most basic form, that which pleases God is faith. And that is worked out in a number of different manifestations. So let's summarize with a couple reasons why those who are in the flesh, why the unbeliever does not please God. One reason is basically when we start pleasing ourselves, we're not pleasing God. Romans 15, here it's describing where people are not acting in love, but they are just doing what pleases themselves. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. We please God when in godly, healthy ways, we please others rather than ourselves. You see, there is a lot of the sin that we talk about that is very self-centered. It is oriented, the whole world revolves around me. And when we do that, we have made ourselves God. The one who is God in our lives is the one whom we seek to please. And when we're just pleasing ourselves, we are not pleasing God. Okay? Because we are not acting in love. We know that as we get the summary, when Jesus summarizes all of the law, all of the commandments, how did he summarize it? You shall love thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all that is within you, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That kind of love pleases God. And the scripture says that that kind of love is a fruit of the Spirit. The person in the flesh is not able to please God in that kind of way because he does not have the Holy Spirit which produces that kind of love. One other thing here. We find that we are men pleasers rather than God pleasers. In Galatians 1:10, Paul raises the question. He says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. So he says that if I am just trying to please men, and here he's speaking religiously, I am religiously a people pleaser. I am going along with what the crowd says we do, the acts that the crowd says we have to do to please God. He says, my focus has to be on the Lord. I am going to do what pleases God, not what pleases man. So those that are in the flesh are not going to please God. They can't. They are ever men pleasers, not God pleasers, because they do not have faith. Faith is the crucial element here. For the man that's going to please God. So, if we want to be people, I think this crowd, I sense that this crowd wants to please God. So we think, okay, I want to please God. What do I do? Well, it's not to focus so much on pleasing God, but as having the faith that pleases God. That's what it is. And what is that faith? That faith is believing his word. It is trusting his promises. It is listening to his voice. That's what's going to please God. So, let's pray. Father, we would pray that we would be those who walk in that company of faith, who learn of you, who desire to please you in all that we do. And Lord, give us that faith. Help us to heed your voice. Help us to do those things that you tell us to do. So we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. We thank you for the way you're going to work. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.